if you receive the United News, then you probably are aware of that the church is going to begin a youth instruction program that's a little bit different than what we've been doing. And it's been entitled the Deuteronomy 6 Model. And so we're going to talk about that today as we are going to begin the program. And the program is not just for the preteens, but it's a program that I think can be beneficial to everyone. And so we're going to review that for you today and talk about what the reason is we're going to begin implementing this, and hopefully you can benefit from it, and it hopefully will be something that will be positive for everyone involved. The church has, for many years, as I've said and others have said as well, that our youth are our most important resource. They are a tremendous resource because they are the future of the church. They're the ones that we want to grow up and mature in the faith and to become the leaders in the church. And it's important that they're going to be very important to what goes on in the future. Our congregation has a Sabbath school program, and many other congregations do as well, and well serve the young people of the church. And we have camps and family weekends and different things like that, which also contribute to serving not only the church but the young people. However, over the years, the church has seemingly by default assumed the primary responsibility of instructing our young people. So what's happened is, and I think that this has happened primarily since the United Church of God began. If it's those of you who had children back in worldwide days, you had things called YES lessons. And the YES lessons were geared toward the age group that was being targeted, and in a positive way when I say the word target. But they were geared toward that age group, and the lessons and all of that were appropriate for that age. And the parents received the lessons, and the parents were to go over the lesson and with their children, and then there would be a review of it at church. It was not necessarily teaching at church, but there would be lessons that would be involved there with kind of reviewing what was gone over at home. But since United started, we've gone to a different model, which has been more of send your kids to class and we teach your kids and or your children. And the goal here is to basically go back to a model that God instructs us in, and it's the model that really is best for us to follow because it's best for everyone involved. And that model is the Deuteronomy 6 model, and it's based on Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 through 9. And this verse is important and is fundamental to what we're going to seek to implement here. It says, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart." So that's obviously written to the parents. The words of God are to be in the hearts of the parents. And being in the heart is crucial because it means when it's in your heart, it's in not only in your heart, but it's in your mind, and it's something that's on your mind. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the parents are to have delved into the Word of God, and the commands of God are to be in their hearts, which prepares them to take care of a very important responsibility. It says, "You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk in by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." So it's an ongoing thing, because as the description there tells us in verse 7, that's what takes place all day long, when you rise up and when you go to bed. It says, "You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes." And that's and for us as Christians, that's not necessarily we're putting little boxes on our foreheads, tying them on there, or putting things that we put on our hand, which are done by various Jewish groups. It's supposed to be something that is spiritual, that is in your mind through God's Spirit. It says, "You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." And yes, that's good. It's to be something that's fundamental to our homes. So as you think about Sabbath school, the question is, does the Sabbath school the model that we've been using in recent days fulfill this responsibility? Does it fulfill this directive? And let's think about how we've typically done Sabbath school over the years that we've been in United. That's about a 20-year span. Basically, it's worked this way. The church creates the lessons, which we've done, and then your children come to class, and the instructor teaches the class, and then the child may or may not tell you what took place in the class. I know that my grandson goes to school, and they ask him how things went at school. It was okay. So he gives the male, short, succinct answer, and that may be what your child says. How did it go in Sabbath class today? Okay. Did you learn anything? Nah, not much. Or I learned this. So they give you very short answers. And the goal is for them to be a little bit more forthcoming, but that's depends on the child. But the challenge is that the church has taken on the primary responsibility in many cases, and that's not what we want to promote. So what we want to do here is we're going to look at the Amplified Version when you look at what it says here in Deuteronomy 6:6. So we'll just review. It says, "And these words which I am commanding you this day shall be first in your minds and hearts." So that it be first in your minds and hearts, and then something is to take place. And as I said, that's something that can only be achieved through God's Spirit. You can read the words on a page and be familiar with the words on the page, but it is only through God's Spirit that they can be written in your heart. That is a miracle that takes place through God working in your life and you're yielding to God in order that His words would be written in your heart. And it's crucial that they be written in your heart. They're part of your life. They're your guide in what you do and what you say and how you conduct yourself. And as a result of that, something can take place. It says, "Then you shall whet and sharpen them." So, whet and sharpen has to do with sharpening a knife. You use a whetstone to sharpen a knife. So you're, in a sense, it's like iron sharpening iron. You are to sharpen your children and pass on what's in your heart to your children. And it's something that is important for us to do as parents. You shall whet and sharpen them so as to make them penetrate. So you want, as a parent, to share the knowledge and truth that motivates you and guides you with your children. And teach and impress them diligently upon the minds and hearts of your children. So, you as a parent, when your children are young, you have the greatest opportunity to pass along the truths of God to your children. And when they're younger, the younger ages, you have the greatest opportunity to do that. They found that if you want a child to learn a language, for example, the best time to do it is when they're young. They're very young, and they can learn multiple languages. And if you want them to learn that language and not have an accent, not to sound, if you're speaking Spanish, you don't sound like an English speaker, but you can speak Spanish with the proper accent or whatever, French or Swahili, whatever it may be. If you teach them at that younger age, they can learn the language and speak it fluently without an accent. And the thing is, as we teach our children at a young age, then we can sow the seeds that can bear fruit later. So we want them to be shared with our children, and it's important that we begin at a young age in talking to them about those things. It says, "And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." So it's something that's to be a part of your life. And when you have an opportunity to speak to them about what's right, about what's wrong, and the lessons, you do it when the opportunity avails itself. If you want to talk about the commandment against lying, when's the best time to talk to them about the commandment against lying? When they lie, which, believe it or not, most kids do. So you can sit down there, and when you catch them in something that's not the truth, and you know it's not the truth, and you know that that's wrong, and here's why. You can emphasize that it's part of God's commandments. And it's an in-the-moment kind of thing where you teach your children. It goes on, we go on here, "Who shall do these things? In Deuteronomy 6, verse 20, it says, "When your son asks you in time to come, saying, 'What is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded you?'" What do these things mean? Why do we do these things? Why don't we eat this? Why do we do this? Why do we go to the feast? Why do I miss school when we have holy days? Why is that? Why are we different? Why can't I celebrate Christmas or whatever the holiday may be? Why can't I do all of these things? And so God has given us instructions, and it's important that we not just tell the kid, "No, you can't do that." We need to tell our children, "Here's why. There's a reason we do these things, because it's the right way to live. It's a way of life that's going to benefit you." And all you have to do is go back through the scriptures and you see how important these things are for us. And they're just as essential to us as they are to our children. They're important. So we have to drink in of the knowledge of God, and then we can share that knowledge with them. It says in verse 21 of Deuteronomy 6, "Then you shall say to your son or your daughter," And, you know, little children, their minds are fertile, and, you know, and they can drink in of those kinds of things. And when you try to bring it down to their level, and, little kids are, it's interesting how little children are. I know that they're tender. You know, that's why God said to be like little children, so that we can be taught, because little children are tender. They've not become hardened in a way of life. And you find as your children get older, they're less receptive. Okay? They get older and it's harder to get it across to them. So you want to reach them at a young age, and you want to continue to reinforce the values and teach them. But it is much easier to reach them when they're young. It's very easy, much easier to do. It says, we move on to who shall do these things. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Listen carefully to these decrees and regulations that I am about to teach you." And so God was teaching Israel, and he said, "Listen carefully to these decrees and regulations that I'm about to teach you. Listen to what I'm about to teach you. Take it to heart." And what does he tell them? He says, "Be sure to pass them on to your children and grandchildren." Because what we're seeking to do is we're seeking to create a culture. We're seeking to create a community that is based upon God's way of life. And so as we as parents teach our children, then they can come to understand who we are as a community, why we exist, what we're trying to achieve, and where they fit into that community. So it says, "Be sure to pass them on to your children and your grandchildren." And, we have the blessing of being able to watch the grandchildren, or my wife spends the time watching the grandchildren. And so she's seeking to pass on those things to my grandson. So she plays a part in that as well. And we seek to share those things with him. And so she does things with him each day that involve spiritual things. So we are where there is extended family, you know, we can all participate in that. And again, who shall do these things? In Psalm 78, verse 5, it says, "The Lord gave the teachings to Israel. So they came from God, which he commanded our ancestors to teach to their children. You are to teach these things to your children. Then their children would know them. They would be taught. They would be known. So they would all trust God and would not forget what he had done, but would obey his commands." So the goal is to teach. The goal is to help our young people to understand these things so that they will learn to trust God, to learn to be wise. You know, we want them to be wise. And as you look in the world today, there is it's quite uncommon to find wisdom. All you have to do is listen to people talk in the entertainment industry, to listen to politicians, and unfortunately, wisdom is sorely lacking. So as you the wisdom is lacking, and the people, if you looked at them intellectually, are much smarter than most of us. But just because you're smart doesn't mean you have wisdom. And God says, I'm giving you wisdom which you can base your life upon, and then you can share it with your children. And it's very important to do that. And we can begin to hopefully do that as parents, as grandparents, and as a congregation. So what we're seeking to do here is to make a shift, to shift from Sabbath school to youth instruction. So we're going to be instructing our youth, and it's not going to be the Sabbath school model where you bring the kids to church, you take them to the class and they're taught, and then they come back and sit down with you. The goal is for you to take a greater part in this, and the church plays the proper role in the situation as well. So let's define what we mean by youth instruction. What does it mean, youth instruction? So youth instruction is a method of instruction. It's about teaching the moment, talking about godly principles, to teach them to make wise decisions as things come up in their lives, asking, what would God want me to do or say? You know, to take the truths of God and bring them down to the level where your child is at, and to teach them in the moment. That was the beautiful thing about children being at home and the parents being at home and working together. That was very easy to do. Today, it's not so easy. You have to make an effort to do it. It's not something that you're aware of everything that went on in your child's life during the day and the decisions they made. And you can basically, you know, it's like in the millennial kingdom where your teachers will be there and point people in the way that they should go. You see, as God intended it, you would be there and you would be behind them and say, don't do that. And point them in the right direction. You would be there and be involved in their lives all the time. So we're seeking to teach them what God would want me to do or say. And that's where you've got to be aware of what's going on in your children's life. And this is going to take more effort. You know, most of us are busy. Most of us are tired. Most of us come home. And the last thing we want to do is teach our kids about God. We don't want to, maybe we don't have time to learn about God ourselves. So you expect me to teach my child about God? But the point is, I would say that for most of us, it's much easier if your child is not, you know, you're tired and you don't want to do it. So what do we do? What do we do? We say, okay, we're going to watch a little TV here. And then we prepare dinner and we go on about our business and we don't take the time to do things with our children. And that's the world in which we live. It's hard to do. But it's something that we need to do as best we can. And it's going to take some effort to do this. We want our children to internalize the principles. We don't want them to just hear what we have to say and go on about their business. We want them to come to believe them. And when you internalize something, you accept it and you seek to live by it. It becomes something that internally guides you. So when you're confronted with a situation, your child has been taught to where there's an alarm that goes off in their head and says, I shouldn't do this. So when all their buddies say, we're going to the convenience store on the way home, and basically we're all going to get a 5-finger discount there at the store and then finish up our trip home. So you can do that, but the child should say, I'm not going to do that. That's not right. Even though you may think less of me, I'm not going in there with you and steal a candy bar or whatever it may be. And, the thing is, you have your children are going to be under peer pressure throughout their grade school years and throughout their high school years. There are going to be people putting pressure on them to make certain decisions. If they've not internalized what's right and wrong, it's going to be hard for them to stand up to it. It's going to be hard for them to stand up to it. This thing is, when you look at the principles here, they're good for the parents, the children, and the information that we're going to be passing along here will be available to everyone. So it's applicable to all ages, and we can all learn from it. And that's the goal here, to make this something that will positively impact the whole congregation. It's good for all ages. It's a process. It takes time and continual application to internalize God's way. It becomes the way to live. It's something that we want them to internalize. We want them to come to go through that process. For instance, I'm going through the book of Proverbs in my own personal Bible study. So I'm seeking to think about the Proverbs and what they're saying and how do they apply in my life. You know, what does it mean to fear God? Do I fear God? How do I show that I'm fearing God? Think about all of these things, and there's a process of looking at the Scriptures, thinking about the Scriptures, and seeing how it applies in your own personal life. And what's happening with the lessons is that you'll be given the lessons and some ideas of the things that we're trying to impart to your children. And it's to be a way of life, hopefully leading to a relationship with God that results in baptism and commitment for a whole lifetime. You see, we want our children to learn the truth, to come to believe the truth and be convicted in the truth and make a commitment to the truth. That's what we want them to do. And this process will hopefully help in that. So youth instruction to just kind of give you a contrast is not just a Sabbath school. It's not just something you go to and your children are taught and there is no parental involvement. Just a series of grade level lessons. They are going to be geared to your children. You're going to gear them to your children. And those who are doing the instruction, they're going to seek to review the lessons at a level that the kids are at. But we won't just have lessons geared for each grade level. It's not something that's just to be 1 or 2 hours a month. It's a way of life. It's a way of life that's ongoing. You know, we don't just come to church and we sit here for a couple of hours on the Sabbath and then go home. It's meant to be something that is ongoing. The Sabbath is a principle. It's something that is to be carried with us from the hall today. That God is our Creator. And that His kingdom is coming. And yes, we look forward to the next Sabbath. But the way that we live indicates we believe God is our Creator, our Maker, the one to whom we are accountable. And we live in a way that represents to God we want to be a part of what the Sabbath's all about. So it's to be something that's ongoing, not just something that's a couple of hours a week. It's not just for preteens. It's for everybody. Everybody can benefit from this, from preteen to the time of baptism. And it's not something that's just done by teachers at informal church settings. The model begins with the parents at home, and instructors support and supplement the teaching that's going on at home. So, just to review here, we have parents are to teach the children according to this model. It's your responsibility as a parent to teach your children. And then the church will provide support. The church will provide, will be supplementing you, but it doesn't supplant. We don't seek to take your place. It's your job. You're the parent. And by all of us working together, we can do a good job of helping your children come to understand the truths of God. To reach the minds and hearts of our children, it takes parents, as we've said. And you are the ones that they look to. From the time that they're born, they are looking to you. And they're like little video cameras or maybe smartphones at this stage, no video cameras as much, but they're like little cameras that are coming and watching you. Everything you do, they watch. You know, like my granddaughter does not want me to hold her. All right? So, I mean, eventually she warms up, but initially she's not. So her head is like on a swivel, and who's she looking to? She's looking to her mom. And that's the way children are. They look to you as the parent, as the one who's going to instruct them, care for them, provide for them. And that involves the Bible as well, where we as the parents love our children, and the greatest love you can share with them is the truth of God. It's the most valuable thing we possess, and we want to share it with them. And we have people who are willing to work with your children and review that, but it's not their job to teach your children as the ones who have the first responsibility. They're going to help out, and in this model, they're going to help review. And we, as the congregation, as we've become aware of these things and these truths, then hopefully we can support those things. We can support those values and those truths. And one of the things that I've been in the church for 42 years, and I would say that the times that I've had conversations that were biblical, they have actually taken place. But not every Sabbath. You know, I like sports. I've talked sports. I like, my job, and other people like their jobs. We've talked about jobs. You talk about a variety of things, but how often do we talk about the truths of God? You know, God says, on the Sabbath, you're not to speak your own words. Your words are to be focused elsewhere, and that is upon God. And not just the world in which we live. So, a thought that ran through my mind is to, if we began to ask each other, what did you study this week? What would be the answer? The deer in the headlights? Hopefully that's not the case. So the point is, as we, and that's meant to be a positive thing. What did you study this week? What experiences did you have that helped you as a Christian, or that you learned from, or that the challenges that you faced? How did you meet the test? But to become more focused upon the Bible and the values of the Bible as we discuss these things with each other. And yes, we should do the personal things. How are things going? What adversities are you facing? You're sick? Well, how can we help you? Would you like me to pray for you? There are things we can do. But we might be a little more spiritual, and hopefully as we become familiarized with the lessons, we can discuss those as well. They will be a spur to all of us. So the Deuteronomy 6 model begins with the parents receiving the guide. So what we're going to do is they're available on the UCG members' website. They're also going to be available in the bulletin. So each month we're going to publish the guide as far as things that you're going to discuss with your children. And if you look at the guide, the first one is out now, and if you look at the guide, you're going to be saying, wow, this is heavy. How do I impart this to my child? For instance, my grandson can't read. So how are his parents going to impart those truths to him? Well, you can read scriptures to him all day long, and that's not going to impact him. You're going to have to bring it down to a level that he can understand, that he can conceive of. And sometimes it may be a picture, sometimes it may be a description, whatever. But your job is to try to say, okay, these are the truths. And what we're talking about this time is about God's existence. So how do you talk to a 5-year-old about, does God exist? Well, it's an opportunity to be creative. And so they're going to make available the family study guides. And they're also going to give you some tips and some ideas about things that you can do with your children to review these things. And then you will review with your children these things. And then when they come to church for the class we'll have for the youth instruction, then we will go over them. We will review them with your children. And there will be no pass-fail or any of that kind of thing. But hopefully they will come and they'll have some knowledge of what we're talking about. We don't want them to come in and say, does God exist? I don't know. Taking the agnostic position, or I'm not sure, or whatever it may be. We want them to have some clue what we're talking about, and that depends upon your input. So we move on, and this is a picture of the thing that they're going to give to you to help you, the connections, which will be is also found on the website, which is kind of tips and tricks of how you can work with your child, suggestions of how you can work with your child and help them to understand the material. Because sometimes it may be hard to bring the concept down to the level that your child's at. And it's something for you to learn a lesson, try to bring it down to their level, but sometimes there are supplements that can help you, and that's what we're going to try to do, is to help you in developing strategies and principles that can be applied to your sharing the truth with your children. I know that, as we sought to impart the truths of God to our children, we tried to do it in the morning before they went to school. So we said, the deal we made with them is, if you sit and you listen to the biblical truths, then we will give you a ride to school. And you won't have to ride the bus, which was a shame. That was shame to ride the bus. Oh, how terrible is that? Especially as high school kids or whatever. You didn't want to be on the bus, trust me. So with all those dirty little kids and all this crazy stuff going on. So you wanted to ride in the car. So we made the deal with them. You listen, pay attention, and we'll give you a ride to school. So that worked for us, and you'll have to sort out your own situation. So anyway, but the thing is, you want to pass these things along with them. So our goal here as we do this is to provide parental support, and you'll be provided with monthly study guides. They'll be in the bulletin, and you can also download them from the members' site. And we're going to try to tie these things in with all of the information available on the UCG site. And there is so much information available to all of us today. And it is available for you to put to use if you would like. Also, there will be a newsletter. And if there are questions, then we can discuss them. So then the instructors are going to receive the guides, just as far as how this is going to work. They'll study the guide, and then they'll use it to review with your children. So that's how that particular aspect of this will work. And then we want to support and build instructor expertise. We're going to provide the how-to for them. And, we have the people who are going to be instructors are Linda Radcliffe, who's been serving as doing the instruction, and Debbie Schultz is going to also be helping out with that as well. And I think they have some parents who are going to be helping with the class also. And the goal is for them to better... These are just examples of things that they have. They have the pictures here and things that would help to emphasize that there is a God, since that's what we're talking about this time. And then we have who and what is God, and we have some verses and talk about what does that tell us. My reason, and for older kids, they could do the matching and they could take it, work with them as younger children to do this. These are just examples of things that we could use. We also know that church in Phoenix has already gone through this, so they said that we could make use of their lessons, and we also talked to the folks in Big Sandy about this particular issue, and they've gone through it, so they said, well, we can make available to you some of the things that we've also found to be helpful. So we've got different resources. We'll try to use those. So we're also seeking to, we're going to make this the information that we're going to go through available to the whole congregation. It'll also be available to the speakers, so if you look at the material and you would like to give a, you know, as your sermonette, your speaking opportunity, you would like to use the material, then we hope you will. But rather than have three sermonettes on the same thing, maybe we could, you know, there are different parts to the first lesson. It has three sections. So if you would like to use that when you're going to be giving a sermonette, then maybe let everybody know that I would like to use this. If nobody has an objection, then I'll put this to use in a sermonette. So we seek to have the speakers that have the opportunity to speak. You don't have to do this, but if you do, you're welcome to do it. Now, when we looked at this, we were a little bit, had some questions about it, and the main thing we saw was there are a lot of moving parts to this. So before church here, we talked about all those moving parts, and we sought to come up with less moving parts. So less moving parts means it's going to be easier for all of us. And there may be objections to why you feel I can't do this. For instance, there are not enough kids. Why should we do this? We only have six young people, and sometimes more, but typically we'll have six. It doesn't matter if we have one or six or ten. We have a you as a parent have a responsibility, and we have a responsibility to do our part as the church. Some say, well, you know, I'm not biblically, you know, I don't know that much about the Bible. I don't know how to teach it. Well, none of us, I didn't when I started, and you may not at this point, but you can reach the point where you can teach it, where you can become knowledgeable enough to share the information with your children. The goal we all have is to become biblically literate. Just think of it in these terms. You are to become biblically literate and share the truth with your child. And that's, what is that doing? That is preparing you for what the Sabbath's all about. When the Sabbath becomes a reality and the rest is here, what are you going to be doing? You're going to be teaching people who are not biblically literate. And you're learning and preparing to do that in the future. We can say, I'm not a teacher. Well, most of us are not, but we can become such. We can learn to teach. And you learn to teach by practice. Now, some people are gifted teachers. They're good at it. They do a wonderful job, but not everybody is. You know, I remember teachers I had in school that I still remember to this day because they were effective. They were effective. And that's, and we, some of us will be more effective than others, but we can all learn to effect, to teach and become more competent at it. We have no instructors. We do. We have people that are willing to step up and serve. And this is an area where we're going to need people to come along to become instructors and carry on those responsibilities. We have everybody's too tired and too busy. We all have that excuse, don't we? We're all too tired. We're all too busy. And that's the world we live in. And we look forward to the time when there will be a rest. But you got to think about, my child is so precious and the truth is so valuable. I want my child to understand the truths of God. It's not my job. But if you have a child, it is your job. It is your job. It's not my job is to help. The church's job is to help. But the main responsibility lies with the parents. And it's a matter of learning to teach. It's a matter of learning to become familiarized with the scriptures. And we need new lessons. Well, we have the lessons. We're going to provide those for you. And there's no buy-in. That means we're not doing this. I'm not going to do this. And don't even ask. But hopefully you will buy in and you will give it an opportunity. So as we move forward, we're seeking to shift the responsibility to the parents. That is the parents' responsibility chiefly. And we are trying to be flexible. So if you have input, we solicit your input. And we realize that one size doesn't fit all. What we do in Houston may not be what they do someplace else. But we're trying to do this on this, a couple of Sabbaths a month. So we're going to have it 2 Sabbaths a month. We're going to begin at 15:45, and we'll do it. That's how it works, has seemed to work best here. We're going to build, seek to build parent and instructor teaching and expertise. And one of the things is we've got to give it enough time to work and make the adjustments that are necessary. So if we need to make some adjustments, we can do so. So we have a number of benefits here. As far as a parent, what are the benefits? We hope to deepen your biblical understanding as a parent. We hope to that you will learn how to teach your children, learn how to teach your children, and teaching is a wonderful way to learn. You know, for all of us who have teaching responsibilities before the congregation, we learn a lot through having to research and to prepare to speak. You have to think it through, and it helps for the message to stick with you. So when I do something, a sermon or whatever, it sticks with me more by going and doing the research. And so as you do that and you work with your children, you'll find it sticking with you. We want to help the children develop a relationship with God. And that's something that you do as a parent. You can foster that. And we can have better and more effective family Bible studies with the lesson. Hopefully it'll give you some ideas of some things to go over with your kids. And also receive some support from the congregation. We're all in this together. Benefits to the congregation. We have speakers will have some additional topics they can use. And members have topics for monthly Bible studies. Everybody will have this, so you can review the material. It integrates monthly topic to youth instruction. You know, you have that topic, and it's something that maybe you can converse with youths, the young people about. Yeah, hopefully it'll help to raise members' biblical knowledge. And you have a whole slew of booklets and Bible studies and things that are online that you can put to use. Finally, the benefit for the children is to help them to learn about God, to learn together with their families, to develop deeper relationship with God. I mean, there is nothing more satisfying that your young person, that baby that has a full life ahead of them, that would turn to God and follow God throughout their lives. The learning is reinforced at church, and hopefully there will be greater interaction with members, and we hope that it will all end up ending with their being a part of God's church and being a part of it forever. So anyway, we want to get this started, and we thought it best to go over this with everyone today, and think about some of those things. And we're going to start in December, so we'll have still have our regular lessons twice this month of November, but we'll begin the new system in December. Gives you time to prepare and gives everybody else time to prepare. And one of the points that we thought was helpful from the folks up in Big Sandy was this. They asked that each child have their own Bible. Each child have their own Bible. So if your child doesn't have a Bible, then it would be good for you to buy a Bible for your child. A New King James Version Bible is solid biblically, and it's what I've used since it was published, and it's a good version of the Bible that holds true to the Scriptures for the most part. So get one that you feel would suffice. And the goal is to help your children to learn to turn to the Scriptures in the Bible. Even at camp, as we have a Bible study, and you say, can you guys turn to this page? There are people, you know, I'll talk to the kids in a class where I just have one dorm. Well, there are kids in there that don't know where the Scriptures are. So the other guys in the dorm or the other young ladies in the dorm are helping them find it because they don't know. So as you work with your young person, help them to, you know, when you mention Isaiah 45, Show them where Isaiah 45 is. It's in this book. This is God's book. And it's of great value, and it has wonderful things in it. And so if you can help purchase a Bible for them and they bring it to class, it helps them to begin to use the Bible even at a young age. And that's just something that we talked about this morning as far as our class and what we want to try to achieve with it. So if you have any input or any questions about what we're doing, please let us know, and we'll try to implement that. And so we'll now have our final song, and then we will try to start the Bible study here about 3:20. So no finger foods today, but we will try to start the Bible study about 3:20, and we'll continue going through the Garden of Eden. So enjoy your 20 minutes, and then we'll meet back here for those that are interested in the Bible study and go through that today.